Our lesson tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, relying on God's provisions to withstand Satan. Having written extensively in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 21, about the high calling we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has been administered in our behalf, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 20. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Paul addressed a ninth realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of relying on God to withstand Satan. Since the evil one is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he controls it. In fact, in 1 John 5:19, literally in the Greek, it says Satan actually rocks the world like a mother rocks a baby in her arms. He's coddling it, trying to get the world to do what he wants. And since today's world is troubled and lawless, we view this passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, literally in the heavenlies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to withstand. Withstand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, in writing of the believer's route to gaining victory over Satan, Paul emphasized the need for us to rely on the spiritual resources of God instead of relying on ourselves. Indeed, Scripture never directs believers to fight Satan in their own strength, but that God fights Satan for them. I'm thinking of a passage in Romans. Actually, it's at the end of the book of Romans. And I put it down here, Romans chapter 16, verse 20. And this should be a theme verse for Christians throughout Christendom, and many Christians have forgotten. In fact, in many charismatic circles, they will say, Satan, get thee behind me, or Satan, do this or that. And they try to command Satan like Jesus did. We don't dare do that because we don't have authority over Satan. God does. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that when the archangel Michael was debating with Satan over the body of Moses, apparently Satan wanted the body of Moses exposed so people would worship it and so forth. It said that this archangel, who's much more powerful and mightier than we are, dared not bring against Satan a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. But notice Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Paul says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That goes all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Head of the serpent, looking forward to Satan being the great serpent. In fact, he's called the old serpent in Revelation chapter 12. But the seed of the woman is Christ. Now, it's true that people today kill snakes by bruising them, you know, with their feet and so forth. But and snakes will bite people on the heels. But The picture here is that Christ will bruise him. So we do not dare take Satan on. I would never think of doing such a thing. It's very dangerous. People who have tried that have gotten into serious trouble. We look to God to handle Satan. So we focus on God's provisions for our withstanding Satan's opposition in our lives. Now God has given us wonderful spiritual resources so that we can withstand Satan. But we've got to use God's resources. If we don't use God's resources, it's all over. I mean, Satan will win every time. Satan is far more intelligent than you and I. He has a file on each one of us. It's about 6 inches thick. He knows all the buttons to push to get us irritated or to get us to sin. He knows it. We all have weaknesses, and so he will work them over. We've got to watch out and make sure that we're relying on God. So Paul directed believers in Christ to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, verse 10. To that end, we Christians are to put on the whole spiritual armor, not just some of the armor, all of it. And we'll get into all these aspects. Every one of them are important. Put on the whole spiritual armor of God that we might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It's interesting, Satan wins when we do one of two things. When we charge in our own power, because then we'll get clocked, we'll get really hurt. Or flee. If we flee, then Satan moves in on the territory. What we're supposed to do if we come under a satanic attack is stand. We don't move. We take our stand that God has given us. So we remember that. Paul then gave the reason for this action of seeking to put on God's armor in verses 12 and 13. Satan is a fallen cherub. We know that. Remember when we were in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 14, there are five cherubs around the throne. There were five cherubs. Satan was the fifth. He was the arch cherub. There are four now. They're called beasts in the book of Revelation. These are very powerful, very mighty, very intelligent beings that God has created. They're created higher than we are at this point. Now, someday we're going to be changed. We're going to be higher than the angels, but not right now. And these are four very powerful beings. Satan was the fifth, and he actually acted as a canopy. He was shading over God, and he was there to protect the holiness of God, God's separation from sin. So Satan is a fallen cherub, a former mighty angel whose intelligence and power far outweigh our own. So his schemes are beyond our human ability to handle. Don't think that you can second guess Satan. You can't. I've tried it. Unfortunately, I wish I never did. You'll lose every single time. He's very brilliant, and he knows how to punch your buttons, like I said. Indeed, when we believers wrestle, and what in the context involves struggles in marriage, Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, family, Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, and the workplace, Ephesians 6, 5 to 9, or ministry, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, our struggles are not against mere human parties, but against many demonic beings behind the issues, even in the heavenlies. Satan still has access to heaven. He has access to heaven until the middle of the Great Tribulation, and his access is so that he can charge us with sin before God. And when he does that, if he's successful, then God has to discipline us. And that's what Satan is trying to do. He knows that he can't touch us, but if he can get God to discipline us, and even to the discipline of unto death, then he likes that. He likes to win. So wrestling, anytime you're wrestling in a marital situation, or you're wrestling in your family life, or you're wrestling in the job, or wrestling in ministry, that wrestling, it doesn't seem that you can ever get on top of it. There's always a struggle. Believe it or not, satanic activity is involved. Demons are involved. And there's a whole panoply of them. So we got to watch it. We got to be real careful. Anytime you get into wrestling, what we need to do is immediately get into prayer. We need help. It looks like there's a log jam in a relationship, and we need prayer. Okay. Now, thus we must take unto ourselves the entire armor of God that we might withstand the evil one in his time of attack. And having done all to keep our stand without wavering. You'll notice that Paul said that in verse 13, having done all, stand. He's emphasized that several times in this passage. Don't run, don't flee, and don't charge. Stand. I used to play tennis a lot when I was a kid. And you have to be careful when you're playing at the net. If you swing and your racket goes over the net, or if you hit the ball on the other side of the net, it's a fault automatically, no matter what happens to the ball. You can't breach that area over the net. You have to stay on your side. You can hit the ball in the air, but you don't reach all over the net. And you can't jump over the net to hit it back at the guy, because once you jump over the net, you foul. You know, you lose the point. So you can hit the ball, you can stuff it down him, but it doesn't work. Same with Satan. You don't can't, you know, if you, on a tennis court, if you flee the ball and leave it and the ball goes in, you know, the other guy wins. If you charge and you go over the net, you lose. What you have to do is stay in your court, but hit the ball. And that's what we have to do with Satan. Stay in our court, but go ahead and hit the ball when it's coming our way. Now, having done all to stand, Paul then named the various pieces of God's spiritual armor in verses 14 to 18. First, we believers must withstand Satan by putting on the belt of truth. And that is, in the context, maintaining our personal integrity and faithfulness in all situations. What Satan will do, he is very clever. He can get us into a situation where he will bring a charge against us. And the tendency is to defend yourself to such an extent that you don't quite tell the truth. You butter it up enough to make yourself come out looking rosy. That's a mistake. Because when it gets to be found out that you weren't exactly telling the truth, you're a little bit off, all of a sudden your credibility goes out the window and you lose. The best thing to do is to be very, very truthful and say, yes, I did that, but this is what I did not do. Okay? So be honest. Very, very important. Your integrity and your faithfulness in every situation. Second, we believers must withstand Satan by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, positionally, we already have righteousness in Christians, so we don't need to put anything on in regards to that. But we need to live righteously. And how do we live righteously? We live righteously by depending upon the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the sinful nature, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the Spirit, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, 3 and 4. So what we need to do is make sure we are depending on the Holy Spirit. We've got to be righteous. If we're not in righteous dependence upon the Holy Spirit, we're in trouble. Third, we believers must withstand Satan by putting on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. Why? Satan is opposed to the gospel's proclamation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. If our gospel be hid, it's hid from the world by Satan, the god of this world, who has blinded the eyes of the people. Many times what happens is a satanic attack comes just before you have a tremendous witnessing opportunity. And it's designed to get you out of fellowship and spiritual defeat, so when the witnessing opportunity comes, you choke up. You can't do it. So what we need to be careful is if a challenge comes, what we need to do is get excited. There may be a real opportunity around the corner, but we need to pray. We need to rely on the Lord, make sure that we're telling the truth and so forth. But get ready, because we might have an opportunity to lead a couple of people to Christ. I've seen that happen a number of times in the lives of people. Really important to watch out for that. Okay, fourth, in addition to all this, we believers must withstand Satan by grasping the shield of faith. And the word of faith is a genitive of content to indicate a resolute faith in the Lord that extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In the Roman Empire, they would have arrows that would be shot at a person with flames on them, and the implication is even if the arrow didn't hit the person, if it hit a house where he was at, it would light the house on fire and then, you know, burn him down. So if these flaming arrows come, and if they happen to hit the person, they're especially painful and very, very destructive. How do we quench all of the flaming arrows of Satan? Is faith in God. Our faith is something that and it's faith in the Word of God as well. Fifth, we believers must withstand Satan by putting on the helmet of salvation. And the context implies the word salvation here is actually the practical deliverance in one's Christian walk. It's not salvation of your soul. You're already saved. But the word salvation is like our word rescue. It's used in a lot of different contexts. In this context, it's a rescue in regards to the satanic attack. Deliverance in one's walk, that is one's hope of God's deliverance from spiritual defeat while facing satanic attack. Always look for God's deliverance. He'll be there. Sixth, we believers must withstand Satan by grasping the sword of the Holy Spirit, the word of God or scripture. And it's interesting, the sword is the only offensive weapon that you have, but it's sufficient. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:4, the spiritual young men, the intermediate level, remember the little children are the new babies in Christ. The young men are the maturing believers, and then the fathers are up here. But the young men, John wrote, you young men, you're strong. The word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. How do you overcome the evil one? The word of God abiding in you. So scripture is very, very important. This is one reason why we emphasize scripture, scripture, scripture. We happen to be in an area that has an unusual amount of satanic activity. I was told that before we came here. It's evident that we're facing it here in our country right now. A lot of what we're facing in the upheaval is spirit activity that's fueling this stuff. Well, we really need to use the word of God that's our offensive weapon. And you'll notice the sermons recently, even in the applications, we've emphasized scripture, 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 because that's what people need. Seventh, we believers must withstand Satan by always praying in every way for all believers. Notice the emphasis on all there. Paul brings this out in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help in every way. The battle is far too big for each of us. So we need to trust in the Lord. Now, Paul shifted from his call to prayer in withstanding Satan to ask for intercessory prayer on his own behalf, that he might open his mouth boldly to give the gospel for which he was an ambassador in bonds. Paul was the greatest missionary of all time. And here, the greatest missionary of all time is asking for prayer, for boldness to open his mouth to speak as he ought. Boy, if the Apostle Paul was asking God for that, we need that. I was talking to a lady today in our church. She led her father to faith in Jesus Christ recently. And she said, I got to the point that he was scared. And I just point blank asked him if he, you know, and he was interested. So she shared the gospel. But then he said, I don't know if I can remember all that. She said, well, I'll tell you what. If I pray, you want to copy my prayer after me? Yeah, I'll do that. So she did. She, you know, led him in prayer, did verse by, you know, phrase by phrase, and he made a commitment to Christ. So, but the Lord, she says, it was like, it was as easy as pie. The Holy Spirit was just carrying me along, and I was real bold, and this is my own Father. So God can give us the boldness, but we need prayer. So in view of our vulnerability to sure spiritual defeat when functioning in our own human strength, God has provided all the spiritual provisions we need, as itemized in Ephesians 6:10 to 18, that we must use to overcome Satan. So may we then utilize the Lord's spiritual armor that we might gain victory over Satan. When I got home from the service this morning, there was a lady in our church that had left a message on my phone. I played the message back, and she said, Pastor, I left my purse in the church, and someone let me in. I think it was Mr. Lee, Lewis Lee was still here. He had a key for the church, let me in. And I went back to the pew where I was at, where I left it, and it's not there. Do you know what happened to it? And she didn't leave a number or anything. Apparently she was so bothered, didn't leave it. And so I emailed her, I had her email address. Well, then she called back again and repeated the message. And I said, I got your message the first time I emailed you. But I said, no, I don't know anything about a purse. I said, it may be that somebody picked it up, a good Samaritan, and they're keeping it in good keeping, and they're going to get it changed. She thought that might be the case as well. But I thought, this could get into a real dicey situation here. What if someone does lift someone's purse? Wow, in the church. Then we got a situation on hand. Thankfully, she called back later. She says, I found it. I left it in my living room. She said, I never leave it there, but I was texting, and I was so occupied with texting, I just dropped it in there when I went back. And so she said, but I've learned from this not to get so preoccupied that I don't pay attention to my purse. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. So that I felt we dodged a bullet. But I was thinking, you know, it's that type of event that can occur that can really get blown out of proportion. And I've noticed as a pastor, when you see something like that, there's a potential for a dicey situation, we need to go to prayer right away, because we don't want to let Satan get his foot in the door. Because he can take something that's just very tame and he can blow it right out of the water. So we got to be really careful and look to the Lord in prayer. We have an enemy, and he's mean, and he's cruel, and he's heartless. And that's Satan. He's very brilliant. He's very powerful. But we have a God who's bigger than that. What we need to do is rely on the Lord.